taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
You know, there are a couple of idioms, a couple of sayings I think truly capture what I have in mind for today. The first you've heard before is from Santayana, at least originally from Santayana. This says, those who refuse to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. The other one we've heard time and time again in some colloquial environment, it could never happen here. And it's that inability of people to look at something in history and apply it to their lives today. And the self-delusion that something that has happened before someone else well, could never happen here, that leads us to lower our guard and to allow the seeds of our own destruction to take root. That's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the seeds of our own destruction and the unwillingness to see what has happened before elsewhere and realize the only two things that keep it from happening here in America are the grace of God and the attention of America's citizens. Hello there, everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution Study. My name is Paul Engel. I am so glad you could join me today because today is a little bit of reminiscing for me. I'm a child of the Cold War. I was born in the 1960s. I lived through most of my life under the fear of communism, Marxism, potential nuclear destruction. Yes, we did duck and cover drills when I was in school. And I remember talking both directly and hearing interviews of people who had come from communist countries to America and the things that they found most baffling, most unbelievable. I believe it was Boris Yeltsin when he first visited an American grocery store and was dumbfounded at the availability of food because he'd never seen a store with so much food in it. I remember the stories of McCarthyism and the sight of a communist under every rock. But I also see through history that McCarthy wasn't entirely wrong. And then I found found an article about this event. It's called Paying the Price, Victims of Communism Panel. It was done by the Human Events and Liberty Forum of Silicon Valley. And what they did was they brought in people who had survived communism, who'd survived Marxism, and took this opportunity to tell us what they learned, what they observe here in America. Now, I've read the commencement address that Solzhenitsyn gave, at least to Harvard University. But this is 2022. These are modern people looking at life in America today and telling us how it compares to their experience in communist countries. Well, for example, Tatiana Menaker, she was what referred to as a refusnik, a person who wished to leave the Soviet Union but was denied. Now, she escaped the Soviet Union and made her way to America. And while here, she attended San Francisco State University, where, according to her words, she found such brainwashing machine of Marxism, which I even didn't have in Russia, in the Soviet Union. American professors are all in delirium of Marxism. Menaker recalled how she was kicked 5 times from Facebook, 7 times from Quora. Actually, censorship in America reminds me of the old Soviet Union. She laughingly said, "I feel I am at home now. Finally." She feels that the United States of America resembles the old Soviet Union. She added later, "Americans used to be nations of brave. Now it's a nation of cowards. It's not tyrants who create slaves. It's slaves who create tyrants. And Americans became slavish. We do whatever we're told to do. They give everything we're asked to give. It's Soviet Union." There is a history worth learning from. There's a history that we are ignoring. You see, she explained how other Russian immigrants in her community mourn the America they came to. They say, "We came to different America, completely different." See, they came to America to be free. And they see it acting like the Soviet Union that they escaped from. Or take the example of Peter Wolf. He escaped from East Germany when it was still part of the Soviet Union. Now, he's told his story multiple times to universities, high school students, and church groups. And he would always start by pointing out that he grew up in a communist country. He said, quote, "And one of the young men one time asked, 'So what's wrong with communism anyway?' And all of a sudden, I realized that these young people have no idea what communism was all about." That's true. They don't. They're not taught the history of communism. Neither are they taught the history of capitalism. They're not taught the history of America, the Soviet Union, or anything that points an evil light on communism. Now he says, he starts off his talks by explaining, "Communism gives you free housing, free education, free medical care, free child care, and free vacations. Doesn't sound that bad, does it? But there's a catch. And the catch is that everything is owned or operated by the government. Every aspect. You had to ask permission where you wanted to travel. What movies you wanted to watch was restricted. What kinds of music you could listen to, what news you could hear and see, what appliances you could own. And if you were a good communist, maybe they would give you a TV or a refrigerator. If not, you wouldn't get it. How much money you could save, going to church was forbidden, as I mentioned before. It was a weakness. You had no freedom. You were watching all the time. Children were asked to spy on their parents. People lived in constant fear. There was no hope." He pointed out that in the town he lived in, someone would commit suicide at least once a month. He said it was not uncommon at all. People were just so hopeless. That's what communism is all about. That's what communism is about. That's what Marxism is about. That's what socialism is about. And that is what so many people in America are clamoring for. Those in government and out. Well, look at how he described it. You got free housing, free education, free medical care, free child care, free vacations. Isn't that what Americans are screaming for? Free, 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 gimme, gimme, gimme. All it will cost you is every right and freedom you have. Now, another gentleman, Peter Palacek, and I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing the name. My Eastern European is not that good. He lived in Czechoslovakia. And he made a point of calling Americans out by noting only a small percentage of the population actually believes in communism. The rest of us are the ones that have to fight against it. He said, "In communism, it's some 5% of the population, a gang of naive fanatics creating their new class, trying to impose Marxist tyranny by terrorizing and enslaving the other 95%. You now know that communism is extremely cruel, unbearably oppressive, brings nothing but misery, loss, and death. Don't let this marvelous country of yours, of ours, fall under communism. These are people who have lived through what many in our country want us to live today. They have the experience, and they are warning us. Yet not enough Americans are listening. Antonio Bandini, a Cuban refugee, said in a Facebook post, "As a refugee from communism in Cuba, I know firsthand of the rampage and the crimes against the Cuban people." The world stayed silent. If the Cuban freedom fighters of the Bay of Pigs were not left on the beach to be slaughtered, Cuba would be free today. History is repeating itself. It's our turn to do something, not to do nothing. These are some of the words from men and women who have survived communism, who have survived from the United Soviet Socialist Republics, and from communist Cuba. And for anyone out there saying, well, we don't want communism, we just want socialism. Remember, it was the United Soviet Socialist Republics. The difference between communism and socialism is in a degree, not in kind. This is world history. This is what we haven't been learning from. And if it was Albert Einstein said, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome, is the definition of insanity. Yet here we have political leaders, school leaders, academic leaders, entertainers, saying, let's do the exact same thing that happened in Soviet Russia, in Vietnam, in communist China, in Cuba, in Venezuela. We're going to do the exact same thing. And we're expecting it to end up differently. I mean, sure, they'll tell you, hey, communism is wonderful. Look it. Free housing, free health care, free education, free child care. Tell me they're not pushing for universal health care. We do it here. Or providing housing for more and more people. Oh, we want the government to provide more child care. We want the government to provide you the opportunity to have money to go on vacation. The government says, we will provide everything. They forget to tell you what it costs. You will have to ask permission to travel. You will have to get government permission for a movie to be broadcast, for you to watch a certain movie, or to listen to certain music. Your news is already being controlled for you, both directly from the federal government and indirectly through media, both social and corporate. Ladies and gentlemen, we are well on our way to the Soviet dystopia. And too many Americans have their head buried in the sand going, it could never happen here. It could never happen here. It is happening here, right under your eyes, right under your nose. I believe I've told the story before where when I speak to college groups, I had one student tell me, well, gee, Paul, you're talking about rights and infringements, but if it's the right thing to do, what's the big deal? It's just your freedom. It's just your liberty. It's just the chance to live your life how you see fit. It's just your ability to make choices. That's all they're talking about taking away. How many people in the Soviet Union, how many people in communist China, how many people in Cuba, Venezuela, Vietnam, looked back after the communist takeover and said, we may have made a mistake. Are we, the American people, willing to make the exact same mistake they did because we are either unwilling to observe the past or unwilling to admit it could just as easily happen here. It has not happened here because the American people stood up, pushed back, and said no. And as the American people have been indoctrinated through our school system into believing that communism and its variants are just hunky-dory, we are heading right down the same cesspool other places escaped from. So it appears many an American has failed to learn from world history. Now, before I head off to break, I want to remind you, you can listen live to the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. You can listen to us on our media player or through our apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. And you can find those links on the homepage at AmericaOutloud.com. I'd also love you to head over to ConstitutionStudy.com. I write articles, I do videos, I do more other information there on that site. You can find out where I'm speaking, you can ask me a question, you can invite me to come speak to your group. It's all available there on the website. Again, that's constitutionstudy.com. And if you're like me, sometimes you get to the end of the day and you have a hard time focusing. You're having a hard time recalling what you're working on. Well, I have something for you. Go to HealthyCell.com, try their Focus and Recall. It's what I use. Don't do the energy shots or the energy drinks, the ones with all the sugar and caffeine. Focus and Recall helps you focus, helps you recall, and as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 20% off your first order. Just go to HealthyCell.com, choose Focus and Recall, and use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. They'll give you 20% off, and you'll tell them you listen to America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfogger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. I'm glad you're rejoining here at the Constitution Study. Listen, I have a question for you. Can you truly have a free press when government is influencing the media, especially the news media? Did you realize that many of the major news organizations accepted money from the federal government to promote vaccines? That's right. ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, The Washington Post, and The Los Angeles Times, and The New York Post all covered stories about vaccines after taking money from HHS, and they never disclosed that fact to the viewer. Yes, those news outlets accepted federal tax dollars to promote the vaccine on their channels. And then they did news programs talking about the vaccines that their own networks were promoting and never told you about it. Well, so much for truth in advertising. And just how free is the press when they're being influenced by federal dollars? Money taken from you, from your friends, family, and neighbors, being used to influence you to participate in an international medical human experimentation. So ask yourself, did you get news from any of these outlets? Did you get news about the vaccine from any of these outlets? Do you trust the news that you got from them now? Now, sure, there are people that are saying, well, we should regulate them to prevent them from doing this. No, I believe in freedom of the press. I believe that if a news organization wants to be evil and corrupt, they have the right to be evil and corrupt. And I have the right to absolutely ignore them. There's a reason why I don't watch any of these news outlets. There's a reason why I don't read these newspapers. Because I don't trust them. Because they've proven themselves to be untrustworthy. And if they're willing to accept money to advertise a genetic treatment, I mean, that's what the mRNA vaccine, they're not vaccines, they're gene therapy. By legal definition, they are not vaccines, they are gene therapy. And these outlets, these quote-unquote news outlets, their networks accepted money from the federal government to promote them and then did news programs about them, never disclosing that fact. Do you trust them now? Why would you be willing to support them? Whether with subscriptions or with clicks or with views, why would you support, why would you trust anything they say? Because, listen, if they're willing to be influenced by federal money when it comes to the COVID quote-unquote vaccines, what else are they lying to you about? What else are they hiding from you, right? It's not just what they tell you that's a lie. It's what they don't tell you. What else? Well, how about the United Nations Human Rights Council? You remember that stellar organization that has this recurring habit of placing regimes in countries that have terrible human rights records, not only on the council, but often as chair of the council. Cuba, Communist China, Iran. You watch these. I mean, again, why would you trust a human rights council that appears not to care if any of the members have a history of violating human rights, have truly terrible human rights records? Now, the United States, as I understand it, is the largest single contributor to the United Nations. Now, I don't mean that we should get a special treatment, but what do we do? Now, the Human Rights Council has been a bit of a political football for years. George W. Bush decided not to join the council, but after looking at just how plagued it is with these problems, President Obama sought to bring the U.S. into the Human Rights Council back in 2009. He pointed that, you know, our own effort to enforce, state and federal laws somehow makes us a human rights abuser. But he failed to make any changes. Now, Trump pulled the U.S. out of the Human Rights Council. Not willy-nilly. He warned it for years that their obsessive focus on condemning Israel and its tolerance for human rights abuses by Russia and China had discredited the council. So he pulled out. Well, guess what? Biden's trying to bring us back in. And he probably will. I mean, let's face it. The Biden State Department argued, they said our withdrawal in June 2018 did nothing to encourage meaningful change, but instead created a vacuum of U.S. leadership. Well, looking at the power of U.S. leadership before we removed is nothing to crow about. Because the U.S. had no leadership on the Human Rights Council. We still allowed human rights abusers on the council and to chair the council. So our leadership did diddly. But what should we expect from a country that is fast running to be another new communist nation? I mean, let's face it. Russia, China, these are communists. We're trying to be like them. Why wouldn't we want them on the Human Rights Council? why would we use our power to keep them off the game? Why would we? We're trying to emulate them. That's not leadership. But you see, that's what happens in communist nations, is you say something, but you don't actually have to do it. You don't actually have to lead. You just have to, you know, go along with whatever the party says. Of course, another important thing is, remember, the people who've lived under communism warns is, if you want to travel, you got to get permission. If you want to buy something, you have to get permission. Well, here we have President Biden, or should we call him King Biden, once again abusing the Constitution, ignoring his oath of office, and he has announced that he wants to set new fuel economy standards for American vehicles. Did Congress give the president the authority to tell you what cars you can and cannot buy? Did the Constitution give the United States the authority to determine what cars you can and cannot buy? Now, yes, they can regulate, they can make regular interstate commerce. This is not regulating interstate commerce, folks. This is regulating you. This is the federal government saying, you're too stupid to buy the right car. We're going to have to enforce standards to get what we want. You don't get a choice. We will tell you what cars you can buy. We will tell you what accessories they must have. We will tell you what options you're allowed to choose. Because they are the Communist Party. Because those in government treat themselves as a ruling class, dictating to the deplorables across the nation how they should live. And of course, it's not simply the federal government. No, folks. You see, there's a church in Massachusetts called the Vida Real Internacional Church. It's a largely Hispanic immigrants, our members, and they want to create a private school called the Real Life Learning Center. Now, according to Massachusetts law, you can't just start up a school. Oh, no. You must gain pre-approval from the local school board, because the government will tell you whether or not you can open a church. The government will tell you what standards you must have for that church. So they did. They applied to the Somerville School Committee back in September, requesting permission to open a faith-based school in Somerville. Now, according to a letter that's been sent to the Somerville School Superintendent from the First Liberty Institute and the Massachusetts Family Institute, these are law firms that are helping this church. The committee waited for 2 months to tell Vida Real that its application was deficient and needed to be resubmitted. Now, that was just a beginning of the delays and the repeated requests for more information. More and more. In February, a subcommittee submitted 35 questions that they wanted the church to respond to at their next meeting. Now, some of these questions Vida Real had already provided. Others actually went into the church's religious beliefs. Now, the church has accommodated these demands. They've provided all sorts of information, yet the committee is still dragging their feet. And they repeatedly express hostility to Vida Real's religious beliefs, according to the church and their legal counsel. The subcommittee submitted a report to the committee questioning how the school's application process will result in a diverse set of applicants, and taking issue with the school's position on homosexuality and creationism, and its belief that mental illness is caused by sin and demons. That's right. You have a Massachusetts school board saying, we don't like your religion. We don't like your faith. Therefore, while they haven't denied yet, they are continuing to drag their feet in approving a school because they don't like it. And after complaining, well, how could they have diversity? They show they're not interested in diversity of thought. The subcommittee wrote, overall, the school was entirely contrary to the values of Somerville Public Schools and the idea of educating the whole child as being inclusive. Now, according to the letter that was sent to the superintendent, 3 weeks later, the subcommittee met again to consider Villarreal's application. Quoting from the letter, Ms. Sarah Dion, in particular, made several comments expressing overt hostility against Villarreal based solely on its religious beliefs. Specifically, Ms. Dion, one, equated teaching sincerely held religious beliefs regarding creationism to teaching that 2 plus 2 equals 5, and described creationism as being factually incorrect. Two, stated she would not be able to look herself in the mirror if school teaching according to Villarreal's religious beliefs were allowed in to open. Three, criticized RLLC's desire to admit only Christians and RLLC's heavy reliance upon books written from a Christian perspective. Four, reiterated previous hostile comments regarding Villarreal's beliefs regarding counseling and sexual morality. And five, falsely accused Villarreal of condemning certain students as being evil because of its desire to teach consistent with its religious beliefs. Equally troubling, Ms. Dion stated that denying RLLC's application was the morally right thing to do and that the committee should do everything it could to prevent RLLC from opening regardless of what the law requires. She even went so far as to state that spending money on costly litigation to prevent or delay RLLC's opening was well worth it. See, the state will tell you what isn't acceptable, what you can and cannot teach your children, how you teach, what standards you use to teach. The state, the government will tell you. And if you don't happen to conform with their beliefs, they're more than willing, some of them are more than willing to circumvent the law and spend as much money as necessary to prevent you from teaching offering to teach from your religious point of view. Conform or get shut down. And that's happening today in Massachusetts. It's not just the federal government. More and more Americans are looking to live in a world where the government runs everything. And contradicting the government, if not a criminal offense, is certainly worth circumventing the law to stop. Tell me this doesn't sound like a communist country. Tell me this doesn't sound like having to ask permission of government to offer educational services. Where's freedom? Where's the freedom of religion? Where's the freedom of thought? Where's the liberty to do what you want, how you want, when you want? And we're not talking about compelling people to take this education. We're talking about offering it to people who want this type of education. Does that sound like a free country? No, Massachusetts is not a free country. In many ways, Massachusetts is its own little communist dictum. And it's here today. And we're watching it. And the people of America are doing nothing. The people in Massachusetts are doing nothing. Now, hey, maybe the people of Massachusetts believe that all Christians are just ignorant rubes who shouldn't be allowed to procreate. Or maybe they just don't think they should be allowed to educate. But is that a free country where differences of opinion, differences of ideas are not allowed to see the light of day? No. That is a communist, tyrannical, dictatorial government. And the people in Somerville, Massachusetts, elected the members of the Somerville School Committee. That means that they work for you. Meaning either you approve of what they're doing or you're unaware because you're not doing your job. I'm not talking about somebody coming in and taking over. I want you to recognize if you live in Somerville, Massachusetts, you have a communist government in your school board, and you're letting it happen. either because you agree with it or because you're unwilling to do anything about it. So what can you do? Well, the first thing you can do is get information from lots of different sources. In fact, why don't you make AmericaOutloud.com your daily stop for the news and happenings, at least one of them. You see, we have to do our part to share this information. Not to simply go, oh, tisk, tisk, and leave it alone. To share it with friends, family, and on social media. Share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos. These are all necessary if we wish to help secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Because if we don't share, see, I believe most of the people in Somerville, Massachusetts are ignorant of what's going on in their school board, in their school committee. But that's easily fixed. Again, emails, social media posts, letting friends and family know, do you really want your school committee to deny a school simply because they don't agree with the teaching of the church that wants to open the school? See, you can do something. You can help. And the first step is to start sharing this information wherever you can. And don't forget to let them know. Again, they can listen to the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. So please, share this information as far as you can.
You've been in that situation. The person next to you is sniffling, or worse yet, coughing. Flu, cold, and coronaviruses are everywhere. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to reduce these threats with an invisible mask as an additional layer of protection? Sold by hundreds of pharmacists and medical doctors, our American-made povidone iodine antiviral nasal spray, Cofix RX, lasts for hours deactivating viruses and germs while protecting you from airborne pathogens that make us sick. America Out Loud listeners get 20% off. Use Cofix RX while in large groups, while traveling, or for any other type of high-risk situation as an additional layer of protection to help reduce your likelihood of catching a cold, the flu, or SARS-CoV-2 viruses. Right now, America Out Loud listeners get 20% off of all orders. Click our banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. Today we're talking about communism. We're talking about this idea that we thought communism could never happen here, but it is. And it is because of our own neglect. And we've talked already about learning from those who have lived through the trauma of communism, who have lived through the depravity, the destitute lives, the lack of freedom, the lack of choice. And if there's one thing that comes to mind when you think about liberty, it should be the right to choose. To choose what you want to do, where you want to do, how you live your life, what you can buy, what you can use. Choice. I mean, that's liberty. It's living your life without external influence. Now, I already talked about in the last segment about how in Somerville, Massachusetts, they don't believe you should have the choice of going to a Christian school that actually abides by what the Bible says, or at least tries to. They're not alone. You see, the Washington State Legislature passed, and Governor Inslee signed SB 5974. Now, what does this little piece of tyranny say? All publicly owned and privately owned passenger and light-duty vehicles of model year 2030 or later that are sold, purchased, or registered in Washington State be electric. That's right. The state of Washington says you are not allowed to purchase, own, register a gasoline-powered vehicle model 2030 or later. Now, let me ask you, did ladies and gentlemen, if you live in the state of Washington, did you authorize your government to tell you what type of car you could buy? I know we have this thing. There are people that are just terrified that the world is going to end because of gasoline-powered vehicles. Of course, all the evidence to the contrary just gets ignored. The fact that we've been told for decades we've got 5 to 10 years to live, and well, we're still here. I mean, for 50 years, I've been told 10 years and we're all dead. Hasn't happened yet. But Washington State has just legislated to remove your choice, to remove you from you the liberty of choosing the vehicle that works best for you. Now, hey, you want to drive an electric vehicle? If it makes sense for you, go for it. Oh, you can't afford an electric vehicle? Well, if you live in Washington State, too damn bad. Literally, the legislature and governor of Washington State just poked their finger in your eye and said, you don't get to choose. Now, I live in a rural area. Electric car does not make sense to me. It doesn't make sense for me here. I mean, sure, if I lived in a city or in suburban America, maybe. But it doesn't work here. But you see, that doesn't matter to the ruling elite in the state of Washington. Can't afford an electric car? Too bad. Electric cars don't make sense for you because of your driving patterns? Too bad. Hey, you just have a beef with electric cars. You just don't like being told that you have to buy an electric car. Too bad. That is what the state of Washington has just told all of its citizens. You don't get a choice. Let me ask you, how many of you who live in the state of Washington voted for the people in the legislature that voted for this legislation? How many of you voted for Governor Inslee? This is your fault. I know we don't want to do that. We don't like looking in the mirror and realizing we made this mess, but this is your fault. It's just another reason why I refuse to live in Washington State. Now, I'd love to come up to Washington State and visit you. I'd love to come up and see the country up there. I'd love to meet with people. I'd love to have events up there. But I refuse to live in a state that says you do not get to choose. You are not a free person. That's what they said. You are not a free person. You are not free to buy a gasoline-powered vehicle. You are not free to buy any vehicle other than an electric vehicle. I mean, even if they had the legal justification to deprive you of the liberty to buy a gasoline vehicle, why did they pick electric? Why not hydrogen? Why not natural gas? Because they don't want you to have a choice. They've decided that electric vehicles are the answer, and they do not believe that you have the liberty to choose for yourself. These are petty tyrants. And as Tatiana Menaker said, Americans used to be a nation of brave. Now it's a nation of cowards. You see, it's not tyrants who create slaves. It's slaves who create tyrants. So the tyrants in Washington State, you created by voting for them, you created by continuing to vote for them, and you created by not standing up when they went beyond their just powers. The people of Washington created this. But let's head diagonally across the country. Let's head all the way to Georgia. Now, Georgia is trying to supposedly protect the people from big, bad social media. You see, the Georgia Senate passed SB 393, which is a bill that would prohibit social media platforms such as Facebook and Twitter from deleting posts and banning views users who live or work in Georgia based solely on their views. And I know lots of people are cheering, yay, get rid of Big Bad Zuckerberg, get rid of Twitter, they're evil, they're awful. Okay. If a private company gets to determine what content it wants on its private platform that you voluntarily agreed to participate in, were you signed a set of terms and conditions that included abiding by their community standards? That's one thing. But for the state of Georgia to say, listen, we're going to determine who you can allow on your platform. We're going to tell you what ideas are and are not allowable on your platform. See, I know our first instinct is to go, yay, beat up on the big bad social media, but realize what you see happening. You see states attempting to take over, effectively take over social media. Now, you may think that's a good thing, right? Because, hey, I've been banned from Twitter from Facebook for, what, a year and a half now? I've had stuff taken down from YouTube and from Twitter and from LinkedIn because they didn't like what I was saying. Never once did I threaten to sue. Never once did I say they didn't have the right to do this. I just pointed out that it means they're not supportive of free speech. It basically means they are evil. But now you have the state of Georgia saying, nope, we're not going to let you do that. Now, you may agree with it again because, well, you're the one having your content banned, or people you like are having their content banned. But you see, this was done by a state currently run by Republicans. What happens if the Democrats get in charge? Or what happens when the court cases come and the judge deciding whether or not your content was removed for viewpoint bias or for other reasons doesn't agree with you? What happens when the state actors get to look at what's going on and decide, you know what? We don't like that. We think this is done for viewpoint. No, the person did something, was something illegal. Nope, we determine that's viewpoint. Or what happens when the person now says, well, no, you see, this is criminal activity. And the person in government says, you know what, you're right. Doesn't actually break a law, but I think this is incitement to a criminal activity, therefore I'm going to allow it to be banned. All you've done is move the problem from a private organization to government. Now government is going to start deciding what content will and will not be allowed on social media. See, here's the thing. You can walk away from Twitter. You can walk away from Facebook. Hey, the only reason I post stuff on Twitter is so that people can find me. Twitter decides to dump me tomorrow. I don't care. Same with LinkedIn and YouTube and Rumble and any of these. We have an agreement. If they want to be evil, I don't care. You know, Facebook shut me down. I'm now on Getter, Gab, Locals. I have other platforms I can talk to. YouTube started getting iffy. I went to Rumble. I have choices when I'm dealing with private companies. Tell me, where do I go when government tells me, when government acts in a way I don't agree with, when government infringes on my liberty? Tell me, where does social media go when the government infringes on their liberty? Because that's exactly what George is trying to do. We may not like what they do. We may not like what Facebook and Twitter and YouTube have been doing, but they are private entities. They have the legal right to do it. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. I know it's convenient. I wish it was more content on Rumble. I wish Rumble had some better. I would love for Rumble to have just a stupid Apple TV app. I would watch a lot more Rumble if I could do it on my TV rather than on my phone and then, you know, AirPlay it off to the TV. It's just, but that's their choice as well. You made an agreement with these entities, and as long as they are abiding by the terms and conditions, government should leave you alone. And if you don't like what Facebook and Twitter are doing, why do you keep supporting them? Why do you keep giving them ad dollars? I don't mean directly. I mean, you look, you're on their platforms, they get ad revenue for it. If you think they're so bad, walk away. I don't follow a Twitter feed or a Facebook wall. Like I said, I post my content. Well, I don't do it on Facebook because they kick me off. I post my content on social media for people to find. I answer comments and questions from social media. When people ask them, I check it and I answer that. That is it. Because I don't trust them for anything else. But that was my choice. But you see, the state of Georgia wants to take away from those companies the ability to make that choice. And now here's the one that, you know, this whole January 6th insanity that has been going on. We have good news and bad news. We'll start with the bad news. See, there's video of people entering the Capitol being told by Capitol Police officers that they could enter the Capitol. Or for example, Brady Knowlton. Now he says that an officer at the Capitol told him, quote, you can go in as long as you don't break anything. That was it. That's cool. So at 2:35 p.m., that's exactly what Mr. Collington did. He entered through the Upper West Terrace doors. He looked around. He walked through the rotunda, the lobby, the Senate chambers, the gallery at least. He obeyed the officer's instructions. He did not break anything. And at 2:53, he left the building. Less than 20 minutes. Did no damage. Yet for that, Knowlington was charged and faced 20 years in prison because he walked through a public building, meaning a building he partially owned. Yeah, see the Capitol? That's what's called, a public building, meaning it is owned by the public. Now, according to the charge filed against him in district court, Knowlington did unlawfully and knowingly enter and remain in a restricted building and grounds. He did knowingly and with intent to impede and disrupt the orderly conduct of government business and official functions, engage in disorderly and disruptive conduct in and within such proximity to a restricted building and grounds, that is, any posted, cordoned off, and otherwise restricted area within the United States Capitol and its grounds where the vice president and the vice president-elect were temporarily visiting. He willfully and knowingly engaged in disorderly and disruptive conduct within the United States Capitol grounds, and that he willfully and knowingly entered and remained in the gallery of either House or of Congress without authorization to do so. That's what he was charged with. Now, that's the bad news. Because Mr. Knowlington is a law student. His law degree is being withheld, and his global entry is being suspended by Borders and Customs. But there's a glimmer of hope. See, a federal judge found a defendant not guilty on all charges because he was waved in by two Capitol Police officers. Now, this is the groundwork for Mr. Knowlington to push back, because the judge said it was plausible that the defendant reasonably believed he had permission to be in the Capitol. How can you knowingly do something if you have reason to believe the exact opposite? But what type of banana republic do we live in where entering the Capitol while they're in session is considered a crime? And really, what does it matter if the vice president and vice president-elect were both there? They're employees. They work for us, not the other way around. But elevating the apparatchik to the level of supremacy, level of power, special, that's what a communist nation does. The question is, will the American people realize that by acting as slaves, they are empowering the tyrants? Or will we wake up and start acting like citizens? And I do want to remind you that all my shows go to podcast a day or two after they're heard on the radio. You can find them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. And if you do me a favor, wherever you listen, subscribe, leave a rating for the show. Hey, if you go to Apple Podcasts and you leave a rating for me, all of that helps other people find the Constitution Study. Because this is where we want to be, I refer to it as a constitutional Johnny Appleseed, where we can spread the seeds of liberty throughout the nation, and hey, maybe throughout the world. But I can only do it with your help. I can only do it if you share this information, if you help other people find me through your subscriptions and your ratings and your sharing of content. I would appreciate that greatly. Because if we want America to be the land of the free and the home of the brave again, we're going to have to stand up, you and I together, and everyone else we can find, to spread the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day.